Welcome to Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Today, I read from our Proverbs Bible Study Guide, second edition. Proverbs chapter 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel. To know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. These are the Proverbs of Solomon. Herein is a collection of gold nuggets, wonderful insights into divine wisdom. There is no higher wisdom than what God has revealed to man. When Solomon asked for understanding to wisely govern the people of Israel, God gave him a wise and discerning heart to discern between good and evil, 1 Kings 3:9. The Proverbs are quoted 19 times in the New Testament by Jesus and the apostles, and they are to be considered part of the revelation of God's truth to man. The audience intended for these writings is all persons, but especially young men and women, boys and girls, and those who are young in the faith. We all need this. By nature, every person is deceived and sinful. By natural birth, we are all ignorant. Newborn babies, two-year-olds, and young people make poor choices because they are lacking in knowledge. So thanks be to God, His Word provides the basic foundation for all true knowledge. Right knowledge is very important. An ignorant person walking out into thin ice will fall through it and potentially drown. At one point, the Lord God points out concerning Israel, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, I will reject you," Hosea 4 and verse 6. There is a dearth of knowledge everywhere today. Maturity and marriage is delayed for young men and young women. Extended adolescence is encouraged. Too many 35-year-old men act like they are 14 years old. The need is desperate now. Get wisdom with all you're getting. Get understanding, says the Proverbs. Where the young men see no need for this urgency, they admit to being satisfied with their own foolishness. As described in the first three verses, the purpose of Proverbs is to train a person how to think, how to discern a wise person, and how to discern between good and evil. Rather than simply providing answers for every situation in life, this book is intended to train one how to work out the problems and come to wise conclusions. God's truth revealed to man also includes the subject area of right and wrong. How might we know when someone is doing something wrong? What is the just treatment of those who do wrong things? Children and young people who are doing the wrong thing need correction and reproof. They need knowledge when they are assuming the wrong things. They need wisdom so they will begin to do the right things. They need skillful knowledge to handle relationships and get a job done. They will also need a subtle knowledge for figuring out how to work through complex problems and conflicts in relationships. This is the reason for God's book of wisdom. A wise man will hear and increase learning. He will listen to others. He is quick to hear and slow to speak. Whether the word comes as a rebuke, a teaching, an encouragement, or a challenge, this man is eager to grow in his knowledge and wisdom. Moreover, the wise man will be better able to understand a proverb and the deeper things there are to know about God, about man, about creation, about God's redemption, and about ruling over creation. He will attain unto wise counsel by listening to wise counselors. The wise son steers the ship of his life in a better direction. He actually makes course corrections according to the counsel he receives. The New Testament Christian recognizes this as the life of repentance. Proverbs 1 and verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. The first lesson in God's book of wisdom is the most important of all. Before moving on to any other statement relating to science, history, the nature of man, the nature of God, salvation, or anything else, this is the first proposition for any and all true knowledge. The foundation or starting point of all knowledge is the fear of God. Before the smartest men in the world set out to prove the existence of God, they must fear God first of all. They must assume God's existence and fear Him before coming up with arguments for His existence. Of course, this means that foolishness or the absence of knowledge begins with doubting the existence of God. Moreover, there is no right view of science without a reverence for the Creator. There will be no wise governing of nations, but only the destruction of nations without leaders who fear God. Before anybody can know anything about anything for certain, they must first fear God. Without the fear of God, there can be no proper understanding of Jesus' death on the cross. To this day, the whole world continues passing by the cross. Many have encountered the cross, and some thoughtful person might very well ask the obvious question, why is this man suffering on the cross like this? Why would his father give him up to such a horrible death? Who or what would demand such a punishment as this? The explanation is not hard to come by. Certain crimes require serious punishment. Certainly the world is familiar with justice, judges, and judgment. So there should be no surprise to find that God is just and requires the death penalty for the violation of his commands. But why does this innocent man suffer here? He is punished in the place of the guilty ones. Our violations of God's laws must be very serious indeed to require such severe punishment as the suffering of the Son of God on the cross. This is where reverence for God appears in every one of us. The beginning of our understanding concerning God's salvation is the recognition of our own sin and the severity of it. The children of Israel may have feared God as he thundered on Sinai. They came face to face with the commandments of God and their violations of that holy law. But even more so, a holy reverence and fear comes over us as we stand at Mount Calvary and view the Savior suffering for us. The atoning work of Jesus is meaningless to those who do not fear God and have never realized the severity of their sins. Actually, most people today are turned off by the notion of fearing God. They much prefer to see God as a friend who loves and a friend to love, rather than a father to honor and an authority to reverence. However, a genuine fear of God may combine with a realization of his love for us and a love for him. The greater the realization of the awesomeness of Christ's cross, the more love is produced in those who realize that sacrifice was made for them. There is no way any would love God for his love demonstrated at the cross without first coming face to face with the magnitude of his own sins committed against God. Fear and love combine when considering God as our Father, but fear and love also meet together at the cross of Jesus Christ. Therefore, the first qualification for any teacher, or the first indication that any person has real knowledge or true wisdom, is this fear of God. Every teacher who purports to be sharing knowledge with students must fear God first and teach the fear of God as the beginning of knowledge. When navigating a busy train station, occasionally a person may board the wrong train. Of course, that train will take him to the wrong place. Knowledge may also be seen as a quest or a journey. Those who fail to get on the train of the fear of God will never arrive at the destination or the city of true knowledge. Today, the majority of colleges, schools, teachers, and media claim to disseminate knowledge, but freely admit they do not fear God or teach the fear of God. These bastions of false learning are to be strictly avoided by Christian families or any other person who maintains a modicum of true wisdom. Science teachers who genuinely instruct on the workings, the wonder, the order, the beauty, the expanse, and the glory of the universe, or the complexity of the human cell, or the astounding variety of life forms in the earth must at some point convey the awesomeness of the Creator. He lifts his arms and says in a hushed tone, "Class, silence for a moment. All stand in awe of him. Let us worship God who created all of this." Then he should end the class with the singing of a psalm of praise to God. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. In contrast to the person who fears God, the fool ignores God, despises God, and pretends he does not exist. More than this, the fool despises wisdom and instruction. While the atheist professor may still worship his own mind, he has nothing but contempt for real knowledge and true wisdom. I hope you appreciate this devotional brought to you today by Generations. This is Kevin Swanson. Our Bible study guides are available at generations.org. And I want to invite you back again next time as we continue to lay down a vision for the next generation.